This year, we commemorate the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of our Blessed Mother to the three children at Fatima, the children being Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucia. Beginning in March, on the 13th of that year, our Blessed Mother appeared and would continue to do so on the 13th of each month all the way through October. So the message was the same. She told the children, tell the people to repent of sin and convert their lives, to say the rosary every day. And she also asked that Russia be consecrated to her Immaculate Heart. Well, what happened was that did not happen. And in November, we have the Bolshevik Revolution, and we saw the evil that occurred in the last century. Nevertheless, on July 13th of 1917, our Blessed Mother showed the children a vision of hell. And this is what is written by Lucia. As Our Lady spoke these last words, she opened her hands once more. The rays of light seemed to penetrate the earth, and we saw, as it were, a sea of fire. Plunged in this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers, all blackened or burnished bronze. Floating above in the conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames that issues from within them, together with the great clouds of smoke now falling back on every side, like sparks and huge fires, without weight or equilibrium, amid shrieks and groans of pain and despair, which horrified us and made us tremble with fear. The demons could be distinguished by their terrifying and repellent likeness to frightful and unknown animals, black and transparent like burning coals. Terrified and as if to plead for succor, we looked up at Our Lady, who said to us so kindly and so sadly, "You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to My Immaculate Heart. If what I say to is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace." Many other saints have had visions of hell, including Sister Saint Faustina, who received the messages of divine mercy. My brothers and sisters, hell is real. Once someone said to Saint Padre Pio, "I don't believe in hell." And he said, "You will when you arrive there." But the Catechism and the Bible both affirm the existence of hell. In our Gospel today, Jesus in the parable talks about that final judgment scene where the wheat, those who are faithful, will be harvested and taken to heaven. Those who are the weeds, the mortal sinners who are unrepentant, will be harvested and taken to hell. Jesus speaks often of the fires of Gehenna. Hell is that place of eternal punishment for those who commit those mortal sins and have no remorse, no contrition for that sin. Keep in mind, God does not put anyone in hell. A person chooses. If a person chooses to reject God in this life and is unrepentant, that person chooses hell. The punishment of hell is awful pain, and it's always described as fire. But the worst pain of all is the loss of God, and therefore the loss of all love. Dante, in his section, The Inferno of the Divine Comedy, said, "Over the gates of hell are written the words, 'Abandon all hope, ye who enter here.'" And that's exactly the point. There is no hope. We have to keep in mind that our Lord warned us what could take us to hell. There is mortal sin. And to commit the mortal sin really says that a person is turning his back on God. What would this be? Well, Jesus talks about sins of neglect. If a person refuses or chooses not to pray, not to go to Mass, not to learn the faith, why should that person expect to spend everlasting life with God in heaven? Jesus speaks of sins of scandal, where because of our words or our deeds, we could cause someone to lose faith. Jesus also said there are sins of omission, where we see a good to be done, and yet we're so concerned about ourselves, we abandon that person. Our Lord was also very specific about serious sins. Jesus said that murder, adulterous conduct, fornication, stealing, false witness, and blasphemy will lead to the fires of Gehenna. St. Paul taught fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if a person chooses to do these actions with full consent, with full knowledge, that person's saying, I'm turning my back on God. And that person, therefore, is on a path that could lead to hell. Now, granted, God is the one who judges. So what do we learn from this gospel passage? Well, first of all, we learn that God gave us life. God gave us dignity. We're made in His image. God gave us a soul with a rational will and intellect. You and I can choose to love God. We can choose to know God. God doesn't force us. That was in last week's parable. God doesn't force us. He doesn't force us to love Him. He doesn't force us to follow His truth, to live His way of life, to follow His path that leads to heaven. God doesn't force us because that would not be real love. Instead, God allows us to choose. So the fundamental choice is that each and every day we say, I love you, God, above all things. And I follow your truth. I live your way of life. I follow the path that you've shown me. If we sin, keep in mind, the Lord is merciful. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So He pours forth abundant graces to people who are even caught in mortal sin, these graces to hopefully move them to repentance. But if the person rejects that, if a person refuses to repent, God accepts the decision and that person casts himself into hell. The second lesson that we learn from this is we, if we consider ourselves among the wheat, have to remain steadfast. And this is why we need time for prayer, for Mass, and the sacraments. This is why we need to invoke the power of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul tells us the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit pours forth the actual graces we need that enlightens our mind, strengthens our will to do good and to avoid evil. So each day, invoke the Holy Spirit. We need that. And the third lesson is the gospel reality that we're living in this garden and there are wheat and there are weeds. Simple as that. And the choice is ours. Well, we want to be the wheat, of course. But then we have to be on guard against the weeds. It's interesting, in the original gospel text, the word for weed is tare, T-A-R-E. So tares was like a rye grass. And it was very indistinguishable from wheat until almost harvest time. But tares is poisonous. Even animals know not to eat it. It's also like a hallucinogenic. So you and I have to be on guard that we're called to be Christians, not to be poisoned in our mind or our heart by those who want to be the pagans, those who want to be the sinners. Think of it this way. Individuals, sometimes maybe community, sometimes in our family, sometimes in our parish, sometimes in our broader church, could poison our minds. There are those individuals that say, oh, the church, I don't agree with the church anymore, we don't need to believe that, and so on. That could poison the mind, especially of a young person. I remember talking to second graders once about the Ten Commandments and keep holy the Sabbath. One little boy said, my mommy says it's not a sin to miss Mass on Sunday. What is that doing except poisoning the soul of a little child? Or we have people who will poison us by saying, oh, your family's too strict, the church is too strict, why don't you come here and live the fun life, that I can offer you. They poison us. And there are those, too, that even call themselves the faithful Catholics, and they're politicians, and yet they promote abortion, same-sex marriage, euthanasia, receive Holy Communion. What a scandal! And there's so many bishops that do nothing about it. They poison the faithful. So, my brothers and sisters, you and I have to be on guard that we choose to follow Christ each day, and we rely on the Holy Spirit. So we're called, then, to be like that yeast that gives rise to dough. We're called to be that mustard seed, that little tiny seed that can grow into a bush 20 feet tall. Yes, you and I have to strive each day to be the best example of the faith, the best Christian that we can be. We must strive to have the best marriage, the best Christian family that we can have, because we're called to bring Christ into this world. Christ wants to use us to bring others to the right path, even those who are caught in the worst sins. So let's heed the message of Fatima, where our Blessed Mother, again on July 13th, told the children, "Say the rosary every day for the conversion of sinners. Do acts of penance for those who are in sin. Make holy and go to Mass on the five Saturdays, first Saturdays of the month." And finally, she said, "Consecrate your heart to me, because then your heart will be united with the heart of my Son." With that, then, we can be assured that the Lord will show us His love, and one day, when the harvest comes, we'll enter the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you.